be reading out of King James Version and Revelation, chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Revelation 1, chapter 3, 1 through 3. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, the words of him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know your works. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains and about to die. For I have found your works complete in the sight of my God. Remember then, you received and heard. Keep it and repent. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at the hour I will come against you.
Everyone. Good to see everyone. We're always thankful for the opportunities we have to open up God's Word and certainly study it. We're thankful for these opportunities that we have. The last few weeks we've been looking at the book of Revelation, and in particular we've tried to focus on these seven congregations, and I tried to theme it the good, the bad, and the ugly. And we're looking at seven congregations. When I kind of read through, I kind of distinguished myself two congregations as good congregations. And these were congregations that when I read through the scriptures, I really saw no reproof or rebuke of these congregations. They were complimented for the good that they were doing, and there was nothing that was brought up against them. And then last week, we looked at three congregations that I kind of labeled as the bad congregations, but these were actually congregations that the Lord would compliment something typically, and then would say, this is something that needs to be worked on, and this needs to be addressed. The ugly congregations are congregations where I think that primarily what God writes these congregations, what we have in Revelation about these congregations, is primarily things that they need to work on. Some problems that, if not addressed, would lead to, or is leading to, the death of the congregation. You know, I find Revelation chapter 2 and 3, as you look at these seven congregations, what a case study it is, and what a blessing it is that we can see what God says is going right with the congregation, but also things that Jesus, God, says is going wrong with the congregation. I mean, what a blessing to have a case study, seven congregations where God says, this is what you're doing well, this is what you need to work on. What a blessing it is to have this laid out for us. You know, Revelation, I think, was really written to console Christians, to encourage them as they were going through some hard and difficult times. And we see that these congregations actually are responding differently, but we can see how relatively close they are. You know, when you start kind of penciling out the good congregations versus the bad congregations versus the ugly congregations, you realize that some of them are right next to each other. They're going through very similar things. I know each city is a little bit different, the things that they would be experiencing, but these congregations are responding in different ways, and we see good things and we also see bad things, and certainly there's things that we can learn from these congregations. We want to look in chapter 3 at two congregations. One congregation that's often referenced as the dead church or the dead congregation, and also the lukewarm congregation. And that's where we'd like to spend our time this evening, as we're really trying to look at what is God considered good with the congregation and what does God consider bad. And certainly as we look at these two congregations tonight, we are going to see, I think, primarily some things that God is critical of that needs to be addressed. Let's look at the congregation at Sardis in chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, also known as the dead congregation. It says, and to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You know, when I look at those first three verses, there's some things that just jump off the page to me. Is number one, in the first verse, it says, a name that you are alive, but you are dead. You know that there are some congregations of the Lord's people that are meeting, that have the name up on the sign, that are meeting, but it's possible that they could be dead. And perhaps there's some congregations out there that have a good reputation, but currently what they are doing at that congregation is not right, is not good, and is not wholesome in respect to God. You know, when we look at these congregations, as we're looking at these congregations, I've really consolidated two areas that a congregation should look at. Is number one, what is your work? And number two, what is your doctrine? Because when we look at these congregations, usually they're slipping in one area or the other. They're not working the way that they should. They're not enduring and doing the work of the Lord. Or two, they're letting their doctrine slip. When I look through these congregations, that's usually what it boils down to, is the congregation is struggling with doing the work of God, or the congregation is struggling with the doctrine of God, the doctrine of Christ. But there are congregations out there that have a name that they're alive, but actually they're dead. It's very important that we understand what the Lord sees compared to what we see many times. You know, we don't always get to catch up and talk to other congregations as much as maybe we would like to. Certainly we need to be concerned with the local work, but certainly we have sister congregations out there that we can communicate with. But there's certainly congregations out there of Christ that could have a name that they're alive, but they're actually dead. And perhaps they could die very quickly. Perhaps they could be struggling with things that we could not see. I know of one congregation in particular that I think of that comes to mind. They've been considered faithful for a long time, and they've been considered to have faithful preachers for a long time. But recently, I've heard that they've invited somebody that's okay with women preachers and was preaching in the pulpit. And I think that there are some things that we have to think about as a congregation of Christ in terms of association, in terms of people that we are allowed to take the pulpit when it comes to false teachers. I mean, when we look at some of these congregations, that is some of the problem that's addressed. It's like, why are you letting this person spread falsehood throughout the congregation? Why are you letting this falsehood creep into the congregation? This needs to be defended. This needs to be addressed. There are congregations out there that have a name that they are alive, but they are dead. And really, this congregation is encouraged to think about what has been taught, what has been received. They need to be watchful. They need to strengthen what they have left so that they can try to turn things around. It says, I have not found your work perfect before God. I think this is a congregation that perhaps is struggling with the work of the church, but perhaps they're also struggling with doctrine as well. When you look at verse 3, it says, remember, therefore, how you have received and heard, and hold fast and repent. Repent in relation to work, repent and hold fast to the words of God. You know, I've heard it said in relation to freedom, is internal diligence is the price of freedom. And I think many people would respect that and think that's true in relation to physical freedom. Eternal diligence is needed, is the price of liberty. In order to maintain liberty, in order to maintain freedom, when you think about it in the physical sense, people have to be diligent. They have to be on guard. There are things that need to be maintained. There are things that need to be worked on. There are things that need to be operated on. And the same is for a congregation of the Lord's people, is that the freedom which we have associated with Christ Jesus needs to be maintained. Eternal diligence is needed to maintain, I believe, spiritual freedom, spiritual liberty. When you look at verse 4, I find this to be interesting. Certainly, I think there might be more here that's applicable that I think maybe people forget about from time to time. When you look at verse 4, we get this idea that there are a few faithful individuals at this congregation. At this congregation that has been labeled dead or in the process of dying, we see the idea that there are some faithful individuals here. I think it's important to note that some of the other congregations that we read about, it seemed like the majority of the congregation was good and there was a few bad eggs. When we started looking at some of those other congregations, the majority was good, but there was a few bad eggs, and those bad eggs needed to be dealt with. But here, with this congregation here at Sardis, we have individuals where it looks like the majority of the congregation is bad, and there are just a few good. You know, a lot of times when people are looking for a congregation of Christ, I think it might be something to think about to look at the congregations that we find in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. Is that when we look at these seven congregations, five of them have something that God says, you need to work on this. And I think the odds are probably in our favor, if you will, that there's something that needs to be worked on here at Sandyville. And if there's not something to work on here at Sandyville and we fall into the camp of the two good congregations, then we have to continue the fight to stay good. But these things are going to happen in the lifespan of a congregation. False teachers are going to pop up. People are going to become lazy. They're going to become lukewarm. They're going to dissociate from the work of the Lord. These are all things that have to be watched within a congregation and try to be monitored as best as they can. But when you look at verse 4, it says, you have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. You know, I'm thankful that we have a righteous judge. I think we are thankful to have a judge that is all-knowing. It's very possible, in terms of our lifespan, that we should be at a congregation that is struggling with some things. And I don't think the answer always is, which I think sometimes our brethren have, is that we need to pack up everything and we need to leave this congregation. How many perfect congregations do we find here in Revelation? Out of the seven, five have things to work on. The other two are trying to continue to do those things that they should be doing. But there are a few good people here that are fighting for what is good and right. They are fighting for what should be fought for. So think about that. You could be at a congregation where perhaps the majority of the people are not going to be right on judgment day, but you could be found right in the eyes of God. And I think there's some judgment calls that need to be had there, but certainly thinking about that idea that we serve a righteous judge who will sort out within a congregation of Christ. We all will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we will answer for what we have done, how we have served. Certainly we need God's grace and His forgiveness, but what is my role at the congregation here at Sandyville? And will I do my role here at Sandyville as best I can? Or will I fall into some of the traps that these individuals fell into at these congregations? But I think that's very powerful. We have a congregation that is dying, but God says there are some people there that are faithful, that are worthy, that have not defiled their garments. And you know, I think that almost hits the idea of once saved, always saved a little bit. There's so many people in the religious world that kind of go with that idea of once saved, always saved, but are we not seeing a little picture here at the congregation that there are some people in this congregation of Christ that are not going to be right on judgment day? Let's read verses 4 and following. It's going to talk about those that I believe that are going to be right with God, but there's going to be some here at the congregation that are not going to be right with God. It says, you have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life. What's the implication? That there are some people at this congregation that garments are not white, they have been defiled, and the idea is that their name could be, I believe, blotted out. And I think this matches up with other passages that we read in the Bible. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 and following, it says, "For if after they escape the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, and the latter end is worse than them than the beginning." There's this idea that individuals can escape the world, they can become New Testament Christians, they can be part of a congregation of Christ, but yet they can go back to the world, they can roll in the mire, they can go back to their vomit, as it talks about the dog returning to its own vomit, is that a Christian can defile themselves. A Christian can turn away from God. And certainly I think we see this with the churches, Church of Sardis here. I think the church at Sardis is living off the path. 60 years ago, or however far you want to go back, a few years ago, this congregation, I think, was in good standing with the Lord. But they're living off the path, they're living off fumes, they're living off things that they did 5 years ago, 10 years ago. The question is, what is this congregation doing today? Maybe this congregation looks good to the people on the outside, but inside, they are not in a good spiritual condition. I think of Matthew chapter 23 and verse 27. It says, "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones." You know, we have this idea of calling out a hypocrite. A Pharisee in this case, in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 27, and the accusation is made that you are like a whitewashed tomb. The tomb looks beautiful, but you know what's inside the tomb? It's just dead bones. And really, that's kind of what we have here at this congregation, is the congregation at Sardis, they look good on the outside, but they're dead on the inside. Their doctrine is dead, I believe their works are dead, and we have a congregation that needs to repent and make some changes. Let's look at the church at Laodicea, also known as the lukewarm congregation, verses 14 through 22. It says in chapter 3 of Revelation, it says, "And the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things, says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your work, and you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot, so then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and him with me. To him that overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I have overcome and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." The church at Laodicea, we're trying to focus on the good traits and the bad traits. And when we look at the church at Laodicea, we see that very quickly, we see the idea that they are lukewarm. And our attitude will affect our work in the church. And I think that's what's happened to the congregation here, is their attitude and their mindset has affected their work at the congregation. They are not zealous. They don't have a desire to do God's work. And what has happened is God's work has stalled. You know, you think about that idea, I know your work. That you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot, so then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing. Now, it's amazing what affects our mindset on this life. And if I could remind you of one of the good congregations that God said that there was no issue with, that congregation was poor. That congregation was being persecuted, but they were continuing with the work of God. Here, the church of Laodicea, they are rich, but they're not doing the work of God. You know, so many times, certainly we have an obligation to give. When we look at in the Corinthian letters, we see that we're to give with a cheerful heart. We're to give as we prosper. We're to give on the first day of the week. But when you think about the work of the church, there are many things that can be accomplished with money. But a lot of the work of the church actually does not have to cost us, in a monetary sense, a whole lot. A lot of the work of the church requires our time. And sometimes that's harder to give than money. Sometimes it's harder to give time. It's harder to give that service. Sometimes it's perhaps easier to give monetarily. These people that are rich at Laodicea, they are struggling more with the work of the Lord than some of the other congregations that we discussed in relation to Philadelphia was a good congregation that was mentioned, the faithful congregation. And then also we have Smyrna, which Smyrna was the one that was poor, but yet they were still doing the work of God. You know, a comfort zone is a dangerous thing. And perhaps the comfort zone creeps in on the church faster than other things. It appears that the church at Laodicea is comfortable. They're rich, they're prosperous, and because of this, it's almost like they have checked out from the work of the Lord. They have lost the desire to serve the Lord in the way that they should. A cold, lukewarm spirit that really has led individuals away from doing the work of the Lord. Now, there's many passages that we could turn to. Luke chapter 11, verse 23, Jesus said, "He who is not with me is against me." And we have to think to ourselves, when I think about my work and service to the Lord, am I hot, am I cold, am I lukewarm? The problem is if we fall into the lukewarm category, God is saying that's just like being cold to me, is that we need to have that spirit and we need to have a zealousness. You know, there's probably no harder task for an eldership or perhaps a preacher to warm a lukewarm congregation. Perhaps it's one of the biggest challenges of an eldership or a preacher to try to warm a lukewarm congregation. Because the congregation that's lukewarm, they've heard the sermon. They've got to see good examples. But they have checked out, they're doing the work of the Lord, and they're okay with not doing the work of the Lord. You know, I think of Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 6. You know, you look at those individuals. Nehemiah leads those individuals out of Babylon, and they are rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. And I just think about that. What a task that is. To rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. In Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 6, you know how they accomplished it? It says because they had a mind to work. That's not amazing to me. Building the walls, you know, and not only were they building the walls, as we read Nehemiah, they were under attack the whole time. They basically had to have a weapon, they had to have a horn, and they had to be working all at the same time. They had to be watching for attackers, and then they were also having, I believe, political attacks against them, trying to get the stopping of the wall being built. These individuals were amazing. But you look at it, they had a mind to work. In the church at Laodicea, they had lost that mind to work. They were not ready to work and do those things that were good for the Lord. But to warm a lukewarm congregation is quite a task. Because to bring such a thing up is kind of the disturber of the peace. What are you talking about? The church should be doing this. What are you talking about? The church should be doing this. Well, the church is supposed to do something, isn't it? We can see what a good congregation of Christ does, and we can see when a congregation slips, what happens. I think there's a great challenges for the church in different places. And when I look at these congregations, they all have different challenges. And certainly, when we look and we reflect, perhaps we could select ourselves out of the pages of Revelation. If we were to label the church at Sandyville, which congregation would we be closest to? And I think it's an honest question. And I think it's one that we should consider from time to time, because I think we can actually go in and out of pages. That's what happens with the dead church. The dead church was good a few years ago. They have a name and a reputation that they're alive, but they're actually dead. A congregation can go through phases. Where are we at Sandyville Church of Christ? Which congregation are we? Where do we fall? What can we do to be the ideal congregation of the Bible? You know, when we get down to verse 19, I think it's a powerful scripture, and it's one that's been forgotten in our society. In verse 19 it says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. That's talking about discipline. Discipline has seemed to have been thrown out in our school systems and other places in our society, but God says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. I'm telling you this because I want you to do better. That's what God's doing. God's reaching out to all these congregations to say, I want you to do better. I want you to fulfill your potential. I want you to work on the things that need to be worked on. And then it says, therefore, be zealous and repent. Isn't that the problem with the church at Laodicea? Is they're not zealous for the Lord. They don't have a love for the Lord, a desire to do those things that God wants us to do. How do we lose our zeal? I think we lose our zeal when we forget about God and what God did for us and the second chance we have at life. I think when we forget about that, we are doomed. And we will lose our zeal and we will lose our desire to serve the Lord. I think of Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. It talks about zeal there. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. What's the problem with the church at Laodicea? They are not zealous for good works. Why are they not zealous? I think because they're rich, and it tells us right there in the passage that they say, I don't need God. When we say we don't need God, when we forget about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we lose our zeal. And we don't do the work of the church. I think that's what happened with the Laodiceans. They were so rich, they said, we don't need God anymore. They slowly lost their zeal. And they ended up at a point where God was really sick of this congregation. He says, I don't want you to be lukewarm. I don't want you to be cold. I'll vomit you out of my mouth. I want you to be warm. I want you to be hot. I want you to be zealous for the Lord who died for you. You know, when I look at these congregations, I start to think about it. I think of two categories. Number one, work. And number two, I think of doctrine. Number one, work. The good congregations, what did their work look like? They were enduring. They would face any challenge. They were enduring, they were facing any challenge. Even if they were poor, they were doing the work of the Lord. It didn't matter if they were poor, they were doing the work of the Lord. It didn't matter if they were being persecuted, they were doing the work of the Lord. Whatever challenges came, they were doing the work of the Lord, they endured. The congregations that were bad at work, what do we see? They left their first love. They had a fading zeal. They were lukewarm. They were indifferent. They were leaving good things undone. They were not persevering. Then we think about doctrine. The congregations that were doing good on doctrine, what were they doing? They were keeping it. They were not denying Jesus Christ. They were not tolerating sin. They were addressing problems of sin within the congregation. They were preserving and keeping the word with all diligence. The people that were not holding the doctrine, what were they doing? They were practicing error. Not only were they practicing error, but they were tolerating error. And they were not addressing error when it popped up within the congregation. They were allowing false doctrine at every turn and would let it fester within the congregation. We want to be a good congregation, Lord. We need to work right, and we need to cling to the doctrine of Christ. And when I look at these congregations, that's where they fell short. Some congregations fell short in the work of the Lord. Some congregations fell in not holding to the doctrine of Christ. The question is where are we at? If we were to match up with one of these congregations, which would we be closest to? Certainly, I think that's a question for each and every one of us, and ask ourselves, where do we fit into the equation? Because we see the dead congregation, there were people there that were worthy, that did not let their garments be defiled, and they were still trying to do the work of the Lord in a hard situation. Perhaps this evening, you need to become a New Testament Christian. You need to be added to the church. Perhaps you need the prayers of the church. We'd love to help you in any way that we can if you come as we stand and as we sing.